Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Friday afternoon means a roundtable tomorrow. Plenty to discuss with Jane Duker, State Rep Steve Butts, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Fred, I've got some plans to go to Jeff City. I'm putting these together. I was chatting with our friend Mary Elizabeth Coleman and Nick Shore today. So I think I told you, and I think I shared with the audience.
You're doing my job.
Yes. Well, here's what I decided. I'm going to Columbia to meet with the dean of the journalism school of my alma mater, the University of Missouri. And I've been invited by David Kirpius, who is the dean, to go to the Mizzou-Oklahoma game that night. And Fred, because this is a work day, you understand that that's a work day, right? I decided to make it even more of a work day. And I haven't been to Jeff City in a long time. I actually think Jeff City's kind of creepy. And I've been there plenty back in the day when I used to cover politics and I was in Columbia. It's just a weird little place. I don't know. But I have reached out to lawmakers and I said, hey, I might swing in on you and check out the offices. And I believe I'm going to be able to meet with the governor, Governor Kehoe, that morning. I heard from Andrew Bailey. I'm going to see his office and meet with some of our state lawmakers as well.
That sounds great. Gather some sound.
Maybe I'll grab some audio. Yes, yep. I will. We should talk to some of our Democrat friends. I should pop in on them, shouldn't I?
Steve Butts.
Well, but I'm talking about some of the crazies. Steve's too normal. We'd have fun with some of the crazies. Hey, I mentioned Annie. Susan News is coming up. Annie's hanging out because we got to go to the Helbig event here in a couple hours. So instead of taking her flight back to the Edwardsville area, she's still at the
station.
22
minutes, door to door. It's not bad at all.
I know. I always talk about that. It seems like it would be longer. I think it's just a perception thing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That huge wall of the Mississippi River. And for Missouri people, it's hard to get past that.
It is. It is. But in the room right now, this is a very special room. And you know that, right? Because we got Lutherans. We got three Lutherans. We love our Lutherans.
Yes.
I was Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, right?
Yeah, that's to the right of the Missouri Synod Lutheran.
It is. Very much to the right.
Hard to find more conservative.
But yeah. I have helped Lisa out in the past, and you're doing a great fundraiser, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's a great honor to be able to talk to your audience here and to bring them into what we're trying to do. Our goal is to meet a $15,000 fundraising effort so that we can provide a scholarship. Lisa and I have come together for an Annie Fry Show scholarship that will help local St. Louis kids, Missouri and Illinois alike. There are 37 Lutheran schools in the bi-state region. This will, in perpetuity, if we meet our goal, help local kids get access to school choice, Lutheran schools. And Fred came on the show yesterday. It was. We got a really nice donation.
Yes, we did.
You, that was well worth your time, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks.
The website real quick is Lisa, L-E-S-A, lisastl.org/Annie. And we are $312 right now short of our $10,000 mark. Tomorrow we're trying to get to 15. If we get to $15,000, we get an additional $10,000 match. So okay. That's the ultimate goal. But if I get another $312, I get to go into tomorrow's show over the $10,000.
Well, I'm going to give you $112 right now.
Well,
so
thank
you. $112. Just tell me what the website
is. Lisa with an E, stl.org/Annie. That's right. Awesome,
I'm
Mark.
Do
thank
that.
You.
We'll do that as soon as I get a second
and
here.
And today on the show, Ryan Wiggins twisted my arm and said, if we get to $15,000 by the end of the show tomorrow, which would be $5,000 and a little bit more, that I'm going to let him trim my hair and he's going to shave his beard. And I don't know what he looks like without a beard. So I thought that was a safe bet.
That would
bet,
be huge.
But
I wish I was more cash rich because I would put it all
yeah,
up
I thought maybe this would close the deal with you, Mark Reardon. So
Lisa, that's really cool.
STL, Lisa with an E, LESA, STL.org/Annie. And also just to add to that, the whole purpose of this is to make sure that people understand that the already affordable Lutheran parochial education, it's much more accessible than you think it is. That there are scholarships out there for people listening who want their children or their grandchildren to get out of the public school system, to go to school, to have a top-notch education, and to learn every day about Jesus. That's what's really most important to me when I send my kids to a Lutheran
school. It's awesome. This is amazing that you're doing this, and we could get that. You got to get that $5,000, right? So let's get some Mark Reardon Show listeners to help out as well and make some donations here this afternoon and keep us posted on the wager. Because
I will. You know I'm a little nervous. He really twisted my arm on that.
Yeah,
so.
You remember the... Do you know the story of how I weaseled out of my bet after 2016?
No.
This is my friend Chris in the country. He was known as Chris Smith, who was shot in the head a couple years ago. They just did 48 hours of peace on him in his recovery. But Chris would call the show all the time. Dave Klein, my producer, would put him up on the board. We kind of gave him the name Chris in the country. He lived up in, you know, Farmersville, Illinois. And a month before 2016, because I'm smarter than everyone, Annie. You know, I'm a talk show host, super smart.
Totally
so
aware.
He's like, Trump's going to win. Mark, you don't see it. You're missing all these signs. A lot of us were missing signs. I said, Chris, come on. There is not a chance in hell Trump's going to win. Because I was doing this electoral.
And this is 16.
2016.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the electoral map thinking, there's no way, there's no path, right? And I said, if he wins, you can come into the studio and shave my head the day after the election. So the day after the election comes, and I'm about to be, put in whatever you would say into the Parkway Hall of Fame for my school district.
And I've seen the plaque.
That's even embarrassing
Mark,
to
I've
mention.
I've seen the plaque.
But the only thing on election night that I'm thinking about is being bald on that event a week later. I'm like that following Saturday night. So Chris calls and he says, you don't have to shave your head, dude. And right away I go, hey, and I didn't know him at the time outside of just being a caller to my show. I said, hey, how about if I take you to a Cardinals game? And I weaseled completely out of that bet. I just want you to know. And I make no apologies for that because I had my hair for the Parkway event.
Well, I have to say, you have great hair. So you and the country with Donald Trump in 2016 were better for it.
Yes, no doubt. All right, thanks, Annie. And
thank
good luck
you
with
so
everything.
Much for the opportunity. Because, I will.
And, well, we're going to, if that beard shaving comes into play.
Lisa with an E, LisaSTL.org/Annie. And I'll add one last thing. If you put a note in there, if you want to shout out your business, if you want to shout out a school that you're affiliated to, I'm getting those messages sent to me. I'll read them on the air tomorrow.
Awesome. All right, as soon as I break here, I'm going to make my donation.
And you guys will be together tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We'll see you at the Helbig event.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know, Mark, I don't think you would have shaved your head at Parkway event or no Parkway event.
I think I would have. I mean, honestly, if he didn't let me off the hook, I think I would have because I had to. But as soon as he said, he opened the door and said, dude, you know, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this offer. But I probably should have done it, you know.
You shaved your legs.
Well, yeah. that was for charity, right? That was
my sister-in-law did that. Not that that's weird.
Well, that wasn't a shaving. That was worse. That was a waxing.
Oh,
Fred.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
At least there was pain involved.
Steve Fred. Carell waxing. There was pain involved. Uh-huh. I said Kelly Clarkson about
Kelly
four times.
Clarkson. All right. I'm going to talk about something in history that has music in it. She said, giving you a long warning, that 56 years ago today in 1969, the Beatles made their final public appearance.
Georgia was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew he couldn't relax.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it, right?
Right? They're on the roof of Apple Studios in London, and the show was stopped when police arrived after neighbors complained about the noise. Seriously? It's so great, and I watched a lot of this morning and just picked out this one, but... I mean, it's chilly up there. Their noses are red. It's just cool to see them perform, and they sound great.
Well, I would recommend the entire documentary that's on Disney is really, really good. It gives you some different insights into the Beatles and the personalities. My favorite from watching that really got to know George so much better, and George is very funny.
Is he? Should say.
Very funny.
And I will say... Really, there's nothing on that album that I don't like. That's one of the ones you could play all the way through. All right, 48 years ago today. Oh, this is... Oh, you know what? I don't have a bell. Ugh. 48 years ago today. Thank you.
That was Fred.
Thank you, Fred. In 1977, the Hardy Boys Mysteries debuted on ABC. It starred Parker Stevenson and my first I'm in love with you crush, Sean Cassidy.
The Run.
That's right. His beautiful feathered hair. Oh, I loved it. They were detectives from Franklin W. Dixon's classic mystery novels. You, of course, liked Nancy Drew. Who was the actress that was that?
Oh, who was that? We just talked about that
last
week.
We looked this up. Dang,
but I love the Hardy Boys, and I had read all the books, too, from when I was younger. So Nancy Drew was Pamela Stevenson, I think.
That's right.
Pamela Anderson?
Pamela
Sue?
Is it Pamela?
Okay, Pamela,
Pamela Sue Anderson?
Maybe that's it.
She posed
I don't
for,
know.
I think she was in Penthouse.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Nancy Drew was in Penthouse.
Yes. Yes. Who was... I'll figure it out here.
I read all of the Nancy Drew.
Pamela
and
Sue
believe
Martin.
Me...
Pamela
oh, that,
Sue
okay.
Martin. That's
okay.
Her name.
Well, Pamela you were close.
Martin. Yeah.
And believe me, there was no mention of her doing any kind of work in the magazines, in the books.
Might have been Playboy. I just remember nudity with Nancy Drew. Now, this was after the, you know, well after the fact. Yeah, July 1978, Pamela Sue Martin. Here we go.
Pamela Sue Martin.
Someone's selling it on eBay. If you have $7, you can buy that issue.
No, thank you. And 25 years ago today, I guess we should mention this. I don't know. It was 25 years ago when the St. Louis Rams beat the Titans. That was Super Bowl 34. And, of course, Kurt Warner passed for 414 yards. It was a record at the time. It was named MVP.
And we should mention that because I was there for the game. So that was a
Were
really,
you?
Yeah, I won tickets from KMOX. So I went to the game in Atlanta.
Oh, I remember this.
My seats were in
no
the top
way,
row.
Yeah.
In the top row, as far away as you could get. So,
I love this.
When the final stop came at the 1 yard line to end the Super Bowl, that was the exact opposite end of the field where I was. But you could watch it on the giant screen. But it was amazing to be there for that.
That is awesome.
Here's something else from this day. Okay, and I think we all remember this, and many people listening will remember. I believe it was a Friday night, January 30th, 1982. I was at my friend Ken Deutsch's house in Ladue. There were 4 inches of snow that were in the forecast, and we got hammered. We woke up to the blizzard of 1982. It was only 13.9 inches of snow registered at Lambert, but that was the low point of the snowfall. Madison County, 17 inches. Jefferson County at 18 inches. But it was really the drifts that were, you know, because it was truly windy and a blizzard, and that was a nasty, nasty time. We got school off the entire next week, which was awesome.
We did.
I missed
we
a
did.
Week of Mizzou because of that.
Yeah, that's
did you really?
My car was drifted in by the snow.
I remember that really well, and we lived on Longview Boulevard in Kirkwood, and it's an island, you know, it's a boulevard, and you could go out, you could barely even walk across the street to get to the island to take the dog for a walk, so you just let him out the back.
I had this incredible knack. In 1979, before I moved here, was the blizzard of 79 in Chicago. And I was at my grandparents' house for that, and my dad had to shovel the entire area out at the house. And then in 82, I was at my friend's house in Ladue, and it took us, you know, I stayed over there 2 nights. I don't think I got back till Sunday afternoon because no
surprised.
One could come and get me, or I don't even know if I was driving there and I had one of the cars. But yeah, so I got out of shoveling out of that particular situation. And by the way, both of those homes, the home in Baldwin where my mom and dad lived, and then the home that was in this would have been in Niles, I think I mentioned that earlier, they had pretty long driveways. It wasn't just like a little short driveway.
Oh, that's yeah, that's a lot of real estate
and
to clear.
There were no snow blowers or throwers back then that I remember people having. Not too many.
No, not in our neighborhood. Plus, here, you really didn't, you know, it
right.
wasn't a thing. You would have to have one up further north. Okay, Netflix is rebooting Little House on the Prairie because we have no new ideas.
Really?
Yes, and I just thought that was weird. A Netflix exec says the new version will be, quote, part hopeful family drama, part epic survival tale, and part origin story of the American West. No word yet on casting or a start date, but the original series streams on Peacock, and apparently people have watched more than 13 billion minutes of it. And that was just last year in 2024, so they thought, well, we got to create a new one. People are happy with the old one.
Who would you cast as Nellie?
Okay,
not our Nellie.
Think about that.
The
Who's
Nellie?
The woman in that bite that says, American women?
Yeah, she'd be, blow her.
She might
good.
Work.
I can't wait until... American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
Unfortunately, that's on the same. This will mean nothing to me. That's on the same pot as my music here, so that's why I couldn't play.
Sorry about that. Well, at least 10 Super Bowl ads this year sold for a record $8 million, because we were saying they were going for $7 million, but a couple of them went for $8 million. And after spending all that money, companies still think it's better to ruin the surprise and release them early. But one of them is the Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. You know, they teased that When Harry Met Sally reunion. Well, it turns out it's a commercial for Hellman's Mayonnaise. And if you watched that movie and loved it and you watched it, they recreate the famous scene in the diner.
Mm-hmm. I had some audio from that yesterday, but I don't have it right now. But that's interesting.
Yeah. So just and Meg Ryan's in it. And you know, you love Meg Ryan, even though her face is strange right now.
It's been strange for a while.
Yeah,
give me a window to do two little things here before you wrap.
Okay. I'm going to mention that the Fire Aid concert is tonight. It has so many artists that it's going to take place in two venues. One at the Intuit Dome, that'll be Earth, Wind & Fire and Gaga and Jelly Roll, Stevie Wonder. And the other one will be at the Kia Forum with John Mayer, Dave Matthews, Joni Mitchell, Stevie Nicks.
I'd pick that one.
And there's a ton more. I just didn't even mention them all. You can pretty much stream it anywhere, Prime, Apple Music, Disney Plus, Max, Netflix, all of it. And it starts at 8 o'clock our time tonight. So if you want to watch that. Okay, what did you have?
Just things that you and Fred can relate to, and maybe the audience as well. So I texted Fred last night because, honest to God, we were just talking, Sue, about how dangerous downtown sometimes is. And I've said this before, and it's no joke. When I leave here a little after 6 o'clock, I go to Market, and then I turn left on 14th right by Stiefel. And last night, it was a solid red light that someone ran. So my point is, we talk about this. If I see a green light, I don't go. I make sure. And last night was a perfect example. If I would have gone on that green, there was a good chance, if I wasn't paying closer attention, someone would have, you know, blown right through.
Whacked you.
One of the things I want to say, these are not just yellows that turn into reds and then someone misses it by one second. These are solid reds that people don't even care. And then the other thing is I was at the station this morning because we had a station meeting. First of all, let me just say, those are my favorite things ever. I wish we would have
all of us.
Oh, my God. It was, especially in person, I was so glad to come down all the way here. But I had to go pick up my son and his girlfriend and my grandson down in Barnhart. So I got on I-55. Now, Sue, I used to live where you live, right?
Yeah.
In Holly Hills.
The same area.
I've driven that stretch of I-55 because my kids lived down in Barnhart. I've been there so many times. I actually lived off Richardson Road near that back in the day 20 years ago when they expanded all that on 55. But this area of 55 between downtown St. Louis and 270, they've been working on it for like 50 years and nothing ever changes. My God, I don't know how you deal with it because I hadn't been on there in a while, right? Let's say I was on 55 4 months ago. Nothing's changed.
Well, there are some areas that it has, but in general, no. And it's extremely frustrating. And they're about to shut down Bayless under 55 for another road work thing.
But I'm just stunned. I know what happened was there, you know, and I don't remember all the details, but they had an issue with the bridge and they had to redo the whole thing. The contractor screwed up. It is stunning how long that project has taken.
Yes, you're telling us who live on it. Fred, talk to me.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I mean, it's just something. P.S., did I tell you this? I scraped the side of my garage with my car sometime in December. Oh, it was right when we were, right in the holidays, I had too much going, and I scraped it. So I took it in to get it repaired, and I'm now, they gave me this monstrous rental. I'm driving around an enormous vehicle. I mean, it is like, so when I go to the lights downtown, I'm in an Armada. Okay. This thing
big is
so huge, I can barely fit it in the garage. It takes me 10 minutes to figure out how to get in the garage.
Sue, is that what I saw you in last night when we were leaving work?
Yes.
You were way up high. That was pretty amazing
how you
even got into it.
Yes, they have like a thing that I step up into. And the first day I thought, this is crazy. The steering is loose. And then by day three, I'm like, I'm kind of digging this. I'm huge. I'm way up.
Big trucks are kind of fun.
Yeah, they
are. I have
a
Toyota Forerunner, but it's not as big as the Armada.
No, this thing, I could take out somebody at the light.
Toyota has a Sequoia. That's more like the Sequoia.
Oh, yeah. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. This is random. Women blink more often than men. Women blink an average of 19 times per minute, and men only blink 11 times a minute. Don't know why. And that's it for Sue's New.
All right, we ran a little late, so I got to wrap this up pretty quick. We got Bill King, who is down in Houston. He ran for mayor of Houston, but he wrote a piece that caught my attention about birthright citizenship. We'll get to that coming up.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, big, big news day with not only the plane crash and details still emerging from that in D.C., but hearings on Capitol Hill for Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel this morning. We'll have more audio from that coming up in the next hour. T.J. Moe's going to be with us a little after 5 o'clock. Charles Lipson at 5:25. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. State Rep. Steve Butts and State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. I've been wanting to talk a little bit more about birthright citizenship, and we have Bill King with us. Bill is a businessman, lawyer, former opinion columnist, and editorial board member at the Houston Chronicle. He's been on the show before, and I just discovered something that Bill and I and Elon and the president have in common. We all are addicted to Diet Coke. Is that what I understand? Bill King, how are you?
I'm having one as we speak, Mark.
So am I. I nurse a can when I'm in the studio every day, and I only do cans. I don't know about you. Like Trump and Elon, I think, do cans too.
No, I do. I do it over ice and glass is the way I like to do it.
Well, that's okay. Well, you wrote a piece about birthright citizenship. This got even discussed with some Q&A about the president today. And maybe I'll just let you kind of start here with some of the history, because this is certainly something that I think has, and the president's been trying to make this point, has been a little bit abused here in more recent history based on what the intentions were of the 14th Amendment bill.
Yeah, so this is it's a complicated issue, and unfortunately our political discourse today doesn't really recognize a lot of complexity or nuance. It's either, you know, black or white, left or right, and this is a pretty complicated issue. The 14th Amendment was adopted right after the Civil War, and it was specifically designed to overrule Supreme Court's ruling that African Americans could not be citizens. And it said that anybody that lived in the United States, or maybe was born in the United States, was a United States citizen. There's this little strange qualifier on it that says any person subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And that's obviously a pretty vague term. It appears at the time that what the drafters of the amendment were thinking about were Native American tribes who at that time were sort of semi-autonomous state. They later became citizens by a separate act of Congress. And like foreign diplomats or those sorts of things that were living here. But the Supreme Court, you know, in the late 1890s, passed down a decision that basically said that if you were born in the United States, regardless of the circumstances, you were a citizen and had to deal with the Chinese immigrant that was in the country. And so that's kind of been the rule ever since. And there's been a lot of discussion over the last 20 years or so. Is this really the right way to, you know, to designate citizens? Citizenship in the United States, and there's a lot of controversy over that. In the paper I wrote, I said, look, it seems to me that you could come up with a more rational way of doing it. And by the way, the United States is one of the relatively few countries in the world that does it this way. Most of them have much more complicated procedures. And so if we had a functioning Congress that could actually pass laws and do all that, then, you know, you'd probably come up with a more rational system of doing it. Whether or not they're able to do that or not, who knows?
You said, you know, there's really two questions that we have to face. The first one is a legal one. Can a president or Congress overturn a doctrine recognized in the U.S. for over a century by executive order or legislation? My guess is no. All right. I believe there would have to be a constitutional amendment, but I guess we're going to find that out moving forward. But the second part is whether an extreme reliance on, you know, the doctrine that you referred to earlier is the best policy for the country. On the first question, do you agree or disagree that the legal one doesn't seem too difficult? I know they're challenging this. The executive order certainly anticipated a ruling. They got one from a Washington judge. It's hard for me to believe that the Supremes will weigh in on this and say, yeah, you can do this without a constitutional amendment or a convention.
I think Trump was starting a conversation. Yeah. I don't think he really expected this executive order to ever go into place. It's actually a fairly thoughtful executive order, though. It has some interesting things, like it only applies to children that are born 30 days after the order, which is one of the real issues if you try to go back and take it away ex post facto. I would be surprised if the Supreme Court would allow a president to change this. But on the other hand, Congress, I'm not so sure about that. You know, in that ARC decision in 1898, there was a very thoughtful dissent by Justice Fuller and Harlan, who's, you know, the icon of the Supreme Court. And they made a very compelling case that said that, you know, that's not what that phrase meant. So I don't know. I'm not sure the Supreme Court wouldn't say that Congress has the right to more broadly interpret that phrase. But I don't think the president does.
I don't know if we'd ever be in a situation where we could have, you know, 2/3 of the states voting on another constitutional amendment, maybe. But I do think that if you start polling people on this issue of birthright citizenship, they probably would argue that maybe the 14th Amendment is a little outdated. Certainly not the entire country, but I'm guessing, and there's going to be polling done on this, that a majority of U.S. citizens, especially based on what we've seen in the last 4 years, would probably favor a policy like this moving forward.
Oh, I think I would be surprised if it wasn't that way, Mark. But, you know, that doesn't really matter in today's politics because there's all sorts of things that a big majority of Americans are in favor of. A big majority of Americans are in favor of a rape and incest exception to abortion. You know, yeah. A big majority of Americans are in favor of multiple political parties. I mean, the problem is we've got two parties that have the political system by the throat, and we're really ruled by minorities, not by majorities anymore. If you were sitting down and say, I'm going to draft an immigration system for the United States today, this is not the rule you would come up with.
Right.
You know, and we kind of know that because almost no country in the world has no country in the world has this rule. So, you know, logically, you'd say, OK, you know, on one extreme, you've got somebody that's born in the United States and has American mother and father. Well, obviously, they're going to be a citizen. Then on the other extreme, you have somebody that's not born in the United States and doesn't have American parents. Obviously, they're not a citizen. But in between those two extremes, there's all variations of grays and combinations and permutations. And you need a system that decides which of these people are going to become citizens and on what terms. You know, my family's Irish, and so I actually went off and looked at what it would take for me to become an Irish citizen. And there's a way for me to do it, but you've got to go through a procedure. You've got to move over there. You've got to invest some money. You've got to pass a test. You've got to, you know, wait for a number of years. I mean, there's a way to do it. And so if you had a rational system in the United States, you would have those sorts of rules in place. But because we have a dysfunctional Congress that can't pass any kind of laws about immigration because it's such a political hot topic, that we've got this dysfunctional immigration system on a bunch of different levels, this being one of them.
Just on a broader question here, Bill, you've been on the show before. You wrote a book called Unapologetically Moderate. Where does your philosophy, this is probably an entire segment outside of this, but your philosophy fit in with what's happening right now in Washington moving forward? Because obviously this is rather unique. I don't think a lot of us expected. I think some had hoped for control of all three branches, but this is something where, you know, a lot of work can be done with this administration, with Congress having control of the Republicans right now.
Well, I define moderate maybe a little differently than some people do. The way I define moderate is more in the term of moderation, that I don't subscribe to any political philosophy. You tell me what the problem is, and I'll tell you what makes sense to me logically by common sense. I'm not going to automatically take, you know, a left, right, Republican, Democrat, MAGA socialist perspective on things because that's the tribe I belong to. You know, I want to think through every issue. And if you read the piece that I wrote on birthright citizenship, I think it's very difficult to ascribe that to a particular philosophy or party.
And I think a lot of that, look, I think a lot of that is happening. There's no way you can make an argument that President Trump is really a conservative, right? There are things, and he talks about common sense all the time. One of the things that I like moving forward is, and you referenced this earlier, I don't know where some of these discussions take us, but I'm glad that we're going to have a discussion. Let's have a debate about some of these things.
Yeah, no, I thought, look, I'm not a Trump advocate. I'm not a Trump detractor. There's some things he does I like. There's some things he does I despise, like, you know, immediately blaming a plane crash on DEI and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't like that either. I talked about it. No, I get it. Yeah.
But he is a disruptor. And frankly, there's some things that need to be disrupted right now. And this is an issue that needs to be addressed. So I like the fact that he's starting the conversation. You know, how it's going to end up, I don't really know. And at the end of the day, I don't think he's got the ability to solve it. It's really going to take, at a minimum, Congress to act. And, you know, so far, Congress doesn't seem to have the ability to do anything right now. You know, everybody complains about every president we've had for the last 30 years has relied more and more and more on executive orders. And Congress complains about, you know, they're impinging on their authority. Well, if they get off their ass and do something, Mark, then maybe presidents wouldn't have to pass these executive orders.
Well stated, Bill King. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, you still live in Houston, right?
I do. I'm currently sailing in the South Pacific as we speak.
I heard about that. I didn't want to mention it. I wasn't sure. But you're
technology.
Like, you're in New Zealand, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But the Mark Reardon Show is that important that you had to jump on
New Zealand coast.
That's great. Well, the reason I bring up Houston is my son works at a great restaurant down there in the Heights area. It's called Squabble, Squable, and it's outstanding. So I want you to go in there and have
I'll go
dinner.
By and see.
You go by and see. You have dinner. You tell my son that I'll buy you dinner, Bill King, and I'll treat you to dinner. How does that sound? I'm serious. I'll do it for you. Go to Squabble.
And I'll order a Diet Coke.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You take care. Have a great trip to New Zealand. I am so jealous. Well, Friday means the Reardon Roundtable. Tomorrow, I mentioned Jane's going to be on the panel. State Rep. Steve Butts and State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Last week on the Roundtable, we mentioned that St. Louis County Councilman Dennis Hancock was allowed to stay in office, the new prosecuting attorney that replaced Wesley Bell. Of course, there was a kerfuffle about that appointment. Melissa Price Smith said that her office had settled with Councilman Dennis Hancock. He had agreed to pay his own legal fees and promised to not try to hire family again. You might remember this was a nepotism charge, and they tried to boot him out of office. Now, Dennis Hancock is now able to talk about some of these things. He's my county councilman in the Fenton area. Dennis, how are you? I'm glad that you're still on the council, and I'm certain that you're probably happy this is behind you, right?
I am, Mark, and I appreciate you having me on this afternoon.
So what happened in the end here? Obviously, the way that I always kind of perceive this is there was a mistake that was made. When you found out about the mistake, you instantaneously said, okay, we're not going to hire it was a daughter-in-law, right?
Stepdaughter,
I'm sorry. And then, you know, she wasn't even really working in the office. But then Sam Page and the prosecutor came in and tried to make this like a big criminal case.
Yeah, in order to prove nepotism, there have to be two things. One, you have to be related. And the second is they have to actually be hired. There's no question that she's a relative. She's my stepdaughter and has been for almost 30 years. The other part of it was problematic for them, and I think that's the word that the prosecuting attorney used. I think they were going to have a very difficult time proving that she was actually hired because there's no record of her being hired in the county.
Yeah, Jane had always kind of pointed toward that in the first place, but then this even got weirder, Dennis, didn't it? Because then there was an attempt to charge the county clerk with criminal, you know, charges related to this, which I never really quite understood.
Yeah, they alleged that she forged some of the employment records to make it look like she had never been hired, and that simply wasn't the case. In fact, when after the new prosecuting attorney came into office, she had the police come over and interview Diane Valenti, who's the county clerk, and that interview lasted about 15 minutes, and they came back and reported there's no crime here.
So in the end, because there's some politics at play here, right? When we talk about this on the roundtable tomorrow, and we talked about it last week, and every time we've talked about the Sam Page involvement in this or the Wesley Bell involvement, or was it teamwork? Because Wesley says he's doing some of this stuff separately. But what's your thought on how all this came together? And then I guess on how it all kind of got resolved.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm not privy to the conversations between Sam Page and Wesley Bell and why they decided to do what they did. I think they saw they had an opportunity to get rid of me and took their best shot. But the bottom line is I'm still in office. I plan to be in office for at least the next 2 years and get ready to do some of the work for the people of St. Louis County, and particularly the 3rd District, that needs to be done. Like, you know, getting a better understanding. We've got a committee of the whole meeting next Tuesday to talk about the county's efforts during the last snowstorm. We heard a lot about the city and their efforts. We had areas of the county that were just about handled just about as badly.
Oh, I know.
And we hope to get, yeah, and we hope to get some information about that next Tuesday. We're also going to be talking to the collector of revenue to find out why it's taking so long to get some folks' payments processed. You know, when you're tasked with the job of collecting money, you need to be able to do that.
Yeah, so
and so
maybe
we're going to find out a lot more about that.
Maybe addressing things, in other words, that taxpayers are maybe concerned about and want some answers to in St. Louis County instead of some of the nonsense that's going on. Because one of the things that was unique in this, and we highlighted it, Dennis, and you know this, when Diane Valenti was charged, the county council was, and this never happens, you can speak to this better than I, never is the county council really on the same page, but everyone was on the same page, so to speak, no pun intended, because they thought it was outrageous that she was charged.
Oh, that's absolutely correct, and I think the you know, the fact that the council voted overwhelmingly to pay for her legal fees, and then just this past Tuesday, after Dr. Page vetoed that legislation, the council overrode his veto by a 6-1 margin.
Yeah, and there's the ability to do that more often because of the numbers, correct?
Correct, and right. I think that what we're seeing is a real coming together of the various members of the council, and it's less about Democrats and Republicans as it is about people who are just simply interested in good government.
Yeah. One final question. If you were booted off the council, I have full faith and confidence that you probably would have had your own witchcraft business. Is that something I could have relied on?
I appreciate the confidence.
All right, Dennis, take care. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have
Thank
a great
you,
weekend.
Mark.
That is reference to, look, you can't make this stuff up. Kelly Dunaway, former member, sat there with Dennis Hancock and the others, and she's got a witchcraft business. That came out in our local paper last week, which we already mocked and made fun of, but I couldn't resist asking that question. All right, we're going to wrap up our second hour here, and I'm very much looking forward to TJ Moe, former Mizzou and NFL player. He contributes to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. You won't find someone that is more outspoken and opinionated on some of the issues of the day than TJ. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about football, too, and these allegations that the refs in the NFL just want to fix something for the Kansas City Chiefs. Our friend Charles Lipson will be back at 5:25 or so, who is a professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. One of the stories that I didn't get to yesterday, and I want to because I have a great piece from Abigail Schreier at the Free Press on some of the gender-affirming care nonsense. And Jamie Reed, our whistleblower from right here in St. Louis, who has been a hero and a champion on some of these issues, along with Riley Gaines and Abigail Schreier and others, was in front of the Kansas legislature yesterday, testifying on some of these issues, and she knocked it out of the park as she always did. And it's interesting to watch Jamie because she always, you know, she's a lesbian. She was married to a trans man who is now detransitioning. She makes it very clear she's a Democrat, so she's not on the Republican side of most of these issues. But on this one, she's been a champion going out there, really talking about the damage that's been done to so many of these kids. It is, as Billboard Chris says, our friend Chris up in Canada, who really travels across the world on this, it's the worst child abuse scandal in modern day history. It really is. And the good news is it's coming to a stop. We'll talk a little bit about more about that in the next hour. Plus, an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.